Welcome to Taratimeh Chonach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm Ruchama Welcher, and today we're going to be studying Mishlei Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. And today we're going to be learning three pasukim, and all of them on the theme of Shalom, peace. So let's begin with Pasuk Aleph, which is about the value of Shalom. Toiv pas chareva v'shalva ba, better is a dry morsel with peace, mi bayis malei zivcheiriv, than a house that is full of feasting but with strife. Meaning that even dry bread that's eaten in tranquility and with peace is more pleasant than all the luxuries in the world if these luxuries are served in a home or in a setting where there's fighting and when there's quarreling. And this pasuk should redefine the way that we characterize success and our definition of a successful person. According to the Malbim, we think a successful person is someone who has a lot of things. They have a beautiful home, they eat out in a lot of expensive restaurants, they travel a lot, they have branded clothing, they have a fancy car. In our mind, that's a successful person. But says the Malbim, success is defined by our relationships. It's defined by the extent to which there's shalom in our lives. And without shalom, without peace, without tranquility, a person isn't successful. Successful is about our internal states. It's about where we are in our souls. It's about where we are in our minds. And it's very helpful to reframe this narrative and stop characterizing and stop defining success in terms of having possessions. People with a lot of possessions are not necessarily successful. People who are successful are people who have tranquility. And the Al-Sheikh adds another layer to this, because sometimes we think that we stand to gain financially through machlokas. Like we almost enter into conflict willingly because we think that it will be financially beneficial for us. And yes, whilst a person might make money in this way, they put up a big fight about something, it might be worth it for them financially because then they can avoid paying somebody. But when we enter into conflict for the sake of money, we have to ask ourselves, at what cost? To do a bit of a cost-benefit analysis here. Because what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is that ultimately a dry crust of bread in tranquility is going to bring us more joy than that money. So when we enter into conflict for financial gain, we have to ask ourselves, like, is this something you really want? Do you want this extra money at the price of a fight or at the price of the resentment that it's going to breed? I once had a great idea. Mitzvahs cost money. A lulav cost money. Matzah cost money. Wine for every Shabbos costs money. Heaven knows that tuition in Jewish schools costs money. And as Jews, that's what we do. We willingly, we happily, joyfully part with our money for mitzvahs. It's part of our budget. What else would we rather spend our money on besides mitzvahs? And shalom is also a mitzvah. And shalom should also be a part of our budget. And it's worth spending money on it. And ultimately, Shlomo HaMelech says, Toiv pas chareva v'shalva ba, mi bayis malei zivcheiriv. It's better to have a dry morsel with peace than a house full of feasting that comes with strife. So this pasuk is about reevaluating our priorities when it comes to financial gain versus peace. And then we're going to jump to pasuk Tes, verse 9, which continues on the theme of shalom. And it's quite similar to a pasuk that we looked at in Perek Yod. Mechase pesha mevakesh ava. He who covers his transgression seeks love. B'shoyne b'davar mafrid aluf. But he that repeats a matter alienates close friends. What this means is that when somebody lets us down or disappoints us or even actively wrongs us, we have two options. We can be mechase pesha. We can overlook it. We can cover it up. Or we can be shoyne b'davar. We can repeat the matter, meaning we can go on and on about it and keep referring to it and keep talking about it and keep going back to it and reminding the person of what they did to us and how they wronged us. So Shlomo HaMelech, mechase pesha mevakesh ava. When you cover up the fact that someone let you down or they wronged you and you let it go, it's because you seek love. Because you love them, you're not interested in discussing every last detail of what they did wrong and how exactly they hurt you. You don't want to bring this up over and over again. You let it go. But on the other hand, v'shoyneh v'davar mafrid aluf. If you go on and on about it, if you repeat it, if you keep bringing it up, it just alienates you from each other. And I heard a really great illustration of this idea from the Torah. Before Moshe Rabbeinu's Neftan, Yeshua takes over and he leads Bnei Israel into Eretz Israel. Moshe gives them some rebuke about the times that they messed up in the desert. In the first pasuk of Sefer Devarim, it describes how Moshe references the Chet Ha'egel and he references the time that they complained that they didn't have food and so on and so on. And it's very, very cryptic. That pasuk is very cryptic. He doesn't spell out each thing. This is what you did. This is what was wrong. This is why it was wrong. These were the consequences. For each thing, he just hints at what happened. and it has a beautiful explanation, and unfortunately I don't know the primary source for this. But the idea is that generally people know what they did wrong. When we mess up, we're generally acutely aware of it. So we don't need somebody to go on and on with every detail and explain exactly what was wrong and why was wrong and what the consequences were. And same with Bnei Israel in the desert. We knew what we had done wrong. We were aware of how we had angered Hashem, and we were aware of the consequences. So Moshe just hinted at it. Sometimes a hint is enough. And we so appreciate it when people don't go on and on, when they're mechase pesha, because they know that you know that you messed up. And mechase pesha mevakesh ava, brushing over transgressions, really breeds love and it breeds good feelings. Now Rashi has another explanation for this pasuk, and he goes with the translation of aluf as leader or ruler. So he says that shayne bedava mafrid aluf means that holding on to grudges and bringing them up again and again, it separates you, mafrid aluf, it separates you from alufo shel olam, from the leader or the ruler of the world, in other words, Hashem. Because in Parashas Kedoshim, Hashem explicitly commanded you, lo sikon velo sitar, don't take revenge and don't hold a grudge. Hashem explicitly commanded you to let it go and stop thinking about it and stop talking about the way that you were wronged. And it's not just that it prevents you from having a good relationship with your friend, but it damages your midas, and that separates you from alufo shel olam, from the ruler of the world. So that's another explanation for b'shoyne b'dova mafrid aluf. If you keep repeating the matter, you're separating yourself from the alufo shel olam. And then to take it one step further, it's important to realize that it's not just for the sake of our relationships between man and man, because holding on to grudges and repeating transgressions over and over isn't a great way to make and keep friends. And it's also not just for the sake of our relationships bin Adam Lamakon, because Hashem commanded us not to hold on to grudges, but it's also a healthier way to live. The Gemara in Tainus, Daf Kaf Amud Beis, says that Talmidim of Rav Ada Bar Ava, they asked him, how did you merit to live such a long life? Why were you zocha to such longevity? And he answered, Miyomai lo hikpadati b'seich besi. I was never makpid. I let things go when people annoyed or frustrated me. I didn't hold on to grudges. I didn't hold on to people's wrongdoings, to the ways in which they had wronged me. And that was good for me. That's why I merited such longevity. So it's not just a good idea from a spiritual, from a religious perspective, but it's also better for us to let things go. I heard a great story of a teacher who told her students to bring in a sack of potatoes. And she told them to write on each potato to write a grudge or a grievance or a way that they were upset in which someone had wronged them. So, you know, think about the times people pushed in front of you in a line, or the times that someone didn't invite you to their simcha, or the times that someone didn't thank you for a baby gift. On each potato, write something. And then she told her students, now I want you to take these potatoes and I want you to carry them around with you everywhere for a whole week. So, you know, think about that. Imagine you take it with you to work. You take it with you when you're doing your errands, when you go to the store, when you shower, when you go to sleep. You carry these potatoes with you everywhere. If you go to a wedding that week, you take them with you to the wedding. And her students found that it became more and more of a burden to carry these around. Like, they were heavy and they got stinky and rotten. And it wasn't nice. It wasn't pleasant to carry them around. And at the end of the week, the teacher said to the students, okay, now you can throw all these potatoes away. And now how does that feel? Because carrying around our grievances, carrying around these potatoes with our grudges and our resentment, it's a punishment. These grudges are heavy and they're stinky and they're a burden. Throw them away and see how much lighter you feel. See how much more full of love you can be. See how what a release it is to let go of them. Mechase pesha mevakesh ava. And then we move on to a third pasuk about Shalom in his perek, pasuk Yud Dalet. Poiter mayim reshis modoin. The beginning of strife is like the release of water. Ulifnei hiskala hariv natosh. Therefore, you should leave off contention before it breaks out. What does this mean? The beginning of strife, the beginning of machlokas, is like the release of water. A fight or a machlokas, it often begins with something small, like someone takes your parking spot, or someone doesn't invite you to their simcha. And then it develops into something much bigger. And that's compared in this pasuk to the release of water. It's like the opening of a dam or something. Like the waters rush out. It was something small. It was just a little hole. And then the dam breaks and the waters rush out. And it's totally uncontrollable. And the force of the water creates an even bigger opening and it just washes everything away, which is exactly like a fight that totally escalates out of control. So Shlomo HaMelech says, "Lifnei hiskala hariv nitosh." Before it escalates and erupts, before it becomes uncontrollable, leave it. Just let this fight go. And he specifically says, "Lifnei hiskala," before it's revealed, before it becomes public knowledge. Because as the Mitzvah says, once a machloikas, once a fight, once a little argument becomes public knowledge, then other people get involved and they jump on the bandwagon and they take sides and it becomes discussed all over town and it's much, much more difficult to bring it under control again. Or as the Ralbag says, leave this fight, leave it, walk away while you still have control. Because like a burst dam that's out of your control, arguments get to the point where you can't control what's being said and done in your name. So leave it and walk away while you still can before it escalates. Lifnei hiskala hariv notosh. And we have a great example of this in the Torah in Parashas Toldos, because Yitzchak's servants dug a well, and then the Pelishtim argued over it, and they said, "It's our well, and we dug it, and we found this water first." And Yitzchak named this well Asik. And then it happens a second time, they dug another well, and again the Pelishtim argued over it, and they claimed it's our well, same story, and Yitzchak named that second well, he named it Sitna. And then Yitzchak moved away. He relocated from the area. He dug a third well, and they didn't argue over that third well because he's moved away from the area now. And he says, "Now we're going to find bracha in this land. We're going to find success. We're going to multiply in this land." And he calls the name Rehoboth. Says Rav Sternbuch in his Sefer Talmud Das that the names of these three wells are very significant. The first well, at first, there was just a disagreement between Yitzchak and the Pelishtim. And he named the well Asik, which means contention. There was like a small dispute over to whom the first well belonged. First time, it's just a small dispute. It's just contention. But the nature of small disagreements, the nature of contention is that it escalates, and it escalates into hatred. And the second well is called Sitna now. It's already developed into full-blown hatred. But when there is an argument, and there is hatred, and there is dispute, if one party can find it within themselves to move away, to end the argument, to walk on, then there's rechovus, there's breath, there's space, there's bracha, there's hatzlacha. Sometimes a fight can escalate into something that's so big that we don't even know how we got there. It started small, it was just an asik. How did it become sitna? But if one side can give in and they can move aside for the other side, as Shlomo HaMelech says in this pasuk, "Nutosh," just let it go, leave it. Then we can be rewarded with only good things, with rechovos, with space, with hatzlacha, and with bracha. Thank you for learning together in the merit for Refuah Shelema for Yonina Sima Bas Daphna Hinda and the wounded members of Tzahal amongst all those who are ill amongst Klal Yisrael. Sponsored by Nina and Chaim Shenker.